Welcome to the Lonely Marketers Podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by Caitlin Young from Samuel Knight International. We talk about Caitlin's journey into recruitment and why a love for psychology makes it a great match for her. She also explains her productivity methods, and I genuinely think she could write this down and sell it on Amazon. Caitlin is also going to create envy among a lot of you listeners, as owning the CRM database is part of her role. Over to the Samuel Knight Indoor Garden for this one. So, welcome, Caitlin. We're here to talk about recruitment marketing, as per usual. So anyone tuning in is likely to be a recruitment marketer or maybe business owner or something in recruitment, thinking about how they get better at marketing. So thanks for agreeing to appear on this episode. I think you've got some interesting stuff to say about what you're doing at Samuel Knight, and I've seen some other interesting stuff on your LinkedIn that I want to ask some questions about. First and foremost, I'm going to dig into your career path with regards to work in recruitment marketing, but also your experience prior to that. So I feel like recruitment marketing is quite unique, and because you've got experience in other sectors prior, can you go into what you see as the massive differences now you're in this sector?
Oh, so massive difference. I mean, obviously, yeah, recruitment marketing is very unique, so to say. But yeah, so I was in the property industry before Samuel Knight. And even with that, the role even there was kind of two-pronged as well. So I was in hospitality and the property. It was very unique role as well. Oh, so. Wow. Yeah, it's one of them where I've kind of already started kind of being more kind of spanned out between sectors. But essentially, tell you a little bit why I got into marketing, and then you'll understand why I kind of recruitment marketing I thought was probably the place for me.
Yeah, set the scene, some context.
I'll set the scene. So when I was younger, I always loved psychology. Like, psychology was like, I love to understand how people think. I like to understand why they do certain things, why they act a certain way. And marketing is essentially based on that. So essentially, you're kind of your audience. If you, in terms of you're marketing to an audience, you're not more marketing to a brick wall.
Yeah,
and that audience, they've got a reason why they buy into your brand. They've got a reason why they want to speak to you. They've got a reason why kind of your brand associates with them. So that was the whole reason why I thought, actually, I want to go to uni and actually do marketing. But
Actually did a marketing degree. Amazing.
I did a marketing degree, yeah. Business and marketing management at Sunderland Uni. Yeah. But yeah, that's a funny story to go off as well. So when I was doing my A-levels, I actually fell pregnant with my daughter. Not advised, by the way. But I did finish my A-levels. I went back and finished my A-levels, and then I worked part-time just at Boots for a little bit. And then I thought, do you know what it is? I'm just going to go to uni. If I don't do it now, I'll never do it. So I just literally rang up Sunderland Uni because I like their modules the best, and says, oh, look, I want to apply, but applications have been closed. So I was like, no, I want to apply. And she went, you're very lucky. Like, we've got one space left, but the course has already started. You'll have to start on Monday. And I was like,
wow.
I put the phone on. I was like, shit, what have I done? I've just signed up the uni in a call. But yeah, so I went into the course, and then by this, my third year, I found myself working part-time, going to uni, having a toddler at that time, and doing an internship. So it was pretty full-on, seven days a week for a long time. it was like, don't ask us how I done it, because have not got a clue. But obviously in these modules when I was at uni, the more appealing ones to me was the psychology side and the consumer side, and how obviously the customer experience works, etc. So when I finished uni, I went into property, and then there was obviously the hospitality side there. But then
that was before, at the same company, hospitality and property.
Yeah, it was at the same company. Basically, the people no longer people don't want to go on a estate agent anymore. So the concept was opened up a lounge, so then people would go in and celebrate themselves selling the house or buying a new house, and kind of really make that like that core memory.
So it's experiential. It's a big deal, right? Buying a house, selling a house.
It's a massive one. It's now, it's all done online, so it's like you sign a bit of paper, and that's 20 years gone. So it's all about that customer experience. But yeah, so. With obviously within the property industry, there was had that two prong there. And then what I was thinking is before I started that role, I applied for Samuel Knight. So I applied for Samuel Knight for a marketing executive role, I think it was. And then they basically offered me the job. They said, the job's yours. But then this was before COVID happened. Then COVID lockdown happened. The job obviously got retracted because it was a very uneasy time. I didn't know what was going to be. So, but obviously that's what I kind of knew that would happen. And then by the time they reached out after, obviously everything got lifted, etc. I'd already started my position. I was quite comfortable in my previous role.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have to pass this one up. And then I think it was about 2 years later, Steve, the CEO, dropped us a LinkedIn message, and he was just like, okay, then the previous marketing managers put me in touch with you just to get you in for a chat, and then the rest is history. I came in and I thought, what better way to have that love of psychology and then working in recruitment? Sorry, the lights do go off.
just for anyone watching on video rather than just audio, Caitlin's not sat outside. They've just got a very fancy office with lovely garden, indoor garden space.
Yeah, indoor park.
As we've just found out, automatic lights. So you know what? It's just this is a ridiculous coincidence. But I heard my wife laughing this morning watching her Instagram video, and the Instagram video was translated from a chef shouting and screaming because the assistant he had bought light bulbs that were noise activated. So he's trying to cook and the lights keep going off. And the only way to trigger the lights back on, he has to like shout really loud. So he's half ranting at the person who's bought these light bulbs, but then having to shout to the light bulbs. Quite funny. I might share that on LinkedIn because anyone listens to this and think, what are you on about? But yeah, so if Caitlin's lights go out again, she's just going to stand up and sit right down.
Yeah, I'll be standing up consistently.
So going back to that, that's quite a nice way to obviously join in where your interests were. Mm-hmm. So I gather you feel like the recruitment sector and marketing into the recruitment sector allows you to utilize that interest of yours in psychology.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, realistically, especially in the recruitment side, it is all about like understanding not just the candidate but understanding the client, and that whole psychology side of why, going a bit more deeper into they've got these hiring needs, right, okay, so what's the business like. We delve a little bit deeper into not just kind of what's kind of required then and there. We really want to understand the business, understand the kind of the client.
Yeah,
understand where they want to kind of go with this as well, and I think that's probably what makes us different to a lot of other agencies there as well. But then even on the candidate side, like what is their current position like? Do they have family? Would they be possible to relocate? Mm-hmm. And all about kind of where they want to go in their career. So I think that's probably more the psychology side, understanding that why and what makes them tick, and having that kind of persona building essentially.
Yeah, that is interesting. So would you say the business is kind of focused on something a lot of recruitment agencies aren't, the consultant side? So your recruitment consultants have to be consultants if they're going to be asking questions about career paths, family, digging that bit deeper. You have to act like a consultant, right? You can't just be a salesperson.
No, definitely not. I think gone are the days with sales. Like, I mean, obviously sales very much there. People are going to come at us for this, but gone are the days of sales and that kind of hard push. Like, no one wants to be pushed out. People are far too clever now to be like, you have to buy from us, you have to join this, you have to do this. Like, people hate being told what to do. It's all about understanding. If you kind of do it right as well and kind of know your audience and know who you're targeting, then it doesn't feel like you're selling anything. You are just providing a solution to their problem, whether it's a candidate or a client. All we are doing is providing solutions, and it's what we're really good at doing as well. So it's one of them things where it's the consultants don't say it is sales. They are literally just there is kind of talking through. Like, you'll find the consultants just on the phone and just being like, right, yeah, so you enjoyed your holiday last week, da da da, and really understanding that and understanding candidates and clients on a personal level, opposed to just, right, okay, so what do you need? You need to do this, da da da, because essentially that it's gone. Like, that whole process is just gone. I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's harder and harder to sell using traditional sales tactics and being quite forceful. Where there's a, not necessarily at Samuel Knight, it sounds like you guys are on the right path with that, but as an industry and as a sector, recruitment agencies got a bit of reputation. Rightly or wrongly, some of it's warranted, some of it perhaps not. It's one of them where you can't tar everyone with the same brush, right? There are plenty of good recruitment consultants and doing things in a way that we would suggest are in the best interests of all parties rather than just to earn a fee. As a marketer, though, that's quite hard within a recruitment agency. What we would tend to do is almost try and do things the right way, or what we perceive to the right way, always knowing that when it comes to the crunch, the sales team are going to get on the phone and hammer someone. How do you bridge that gap as a company and as teams? How are you working alongside sales to make sure there's a good level of continuity and messaging? And because it can go wrong, can't it? You could have the best marketing 100%. Campaign in the world, and then as soon as you get so far in the journey and someone's got your contact details, you get hammered with phone calls.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think the way that my role is kind of being established as well. So I'm not just, I cover all the marketing, the group marketing, but then I also, CRM falls under me. I manage the full CRM system as well. So in terms, not just the system, sorry, but kind of the strategy behind that, and then making sure that the consultants are getting the most out of that kind of strategy and the software. I basically kind of look at what conversations have been had, whether people are being contacted in a certain amount of days. Like, we do really kind of, again, what I was saying at the beginning, we value our candidates and clients. So it's really important to then making sure that basically I look after from the top of the funnel down to the bottom of the funnel and back on the retention loop. So I can have an overview of everything, and then I'll in terms of like your line managers, and then basically relay that information there as well. So then again, if things are getting missed, or if it's a bit too much, or again, if people are getting bombarded with phone calls, or if people are phoning the same candidate, like it's highlighted quite quickly and it's resolved quite quickly. And I think that's a kind of a main difference for me as well. So it's quite nice. If not all marketers get this, so like I'm quite lucky to be able to like.
Well, it's weird, right? Because
to see it from a full view,
you should at least be involved.
Yeah,
it's rare that you'd be the owner, but it is pretty rare not to even be involved. Like, there's a wall between CRM and marketing functions in this industry. My view on it is it's because a database, whether you call it CRM, ATS, database, what's at the center of a recruitment company. My view as to why there's a bit of a barrier for marketers is the database always predates them having a marketing function. So it was always sales heavy. It sounds, I don't know how it's come to pass, but it sounds like you guys don't have that, or it's something you've approached in almost like, why would marketing not be involved? To have ownership, though, is incredible.
Yeah, no, I think we've got a forward thinking mindset essentially, because what we looked at is like, right, okay, so you like what you said before, you can do a really good campaign, you could have really good reach, you could have the right messaging, you could get all this candidate traction, you could win clients, but then if it's brought down to the CRM and then it's kind of ruined there, then you've got that weak link. And I think that's really important for that link to always be like even visible from Okta. I mean, like I said, I'm quite lucky to be able to kind of manage that CRM and have a little look at that and then kind of relate that to the sales team. And we're all quite a close, I don't want to say family because there's such a negative connotation with the word and companies, families, but we're all quite a kind of close-knit company where it's just like, yeah, we will call people's shit out and be like, look, like this
that's
isn't
not good enough. What,
yeah, this is not the, and they respond to it a lot better because they respect it. Then they're like, oh, yeah. Actually, they're just saying this to for my own kind of work as well. So I think it's really important that there's a mutual respect. And there's, again, I'm quite lucky because not a lot of recruitment agencies have a mutual respect between sales and marketing. It's a constant battle. But again, it's one of them where I don't think that's obviously came about straight away. It's one of them where it takes time to then build that respect, essentially. But yeah.
Yeah, I admitted I commented on a post this morning where someone was sharing how their attitude shifted in how they view sales and inward looking as a marketer going, do you know what? Part of this problem was always me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You can't have sales versus marketing without the marketing being on one side of it, can you? So that mutual respect, you've got to work at the relationship aspect and nurturing a relationship with your sales counterparts that shows if we work together, it sounds cheesy, but if you work together, it's going to be mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
Make it more a relay than a tennis match where it's like, we've got all these candidates are rubbish. Well, you're not putting the right data on the database. Well, you're not giving us good enough leads. It's a tale as old as time, that, isn't it? That back and forth.
Yeah. It's like a marriage, isn't it? Yeah. It is. It's like a marriage. You want the same.
Yeah.
I think it's what you first, right, okay, well, I've got this job and I need to do X, Y, and Z. So they don't think of that bigger picture. Where I think, again, that's another benefit of kind of me being in the CRM system and kind of introducing new strategies and being like, actually, if you do this and nurture this relationship, then realistically, recruitment marketing is exactly the same as any other service. People aren't ready to buy right here, right now. They'll be ready to buy when they are ready, but it's important to be in front of always that forefront. But obviously, sales don't always get that, and it's not that they don't get that, they just don't understand it. They only see the right here, right now. But when I'm in the day-to-day and I'm like, actually think of the bigger picture, if you put a task in, if you kind of catch up with them in 6 months' time and just ask them how they're going, ask them how little Billy is, and actually start create that relationship there and utilising the CRM to then capture all of this data and then use that essentially in their relationship building. But yeah, it is like a marriage, but it's one of them where it's worth working on. And once you've got
Commit
it going
it.
Good... It's commitment. Yeah, commitment.
I think what I really like about that is it sounds like you enable them to crack on with the next, you know, day. It's today. They want stuff done today.
Mm-hmm.
But providing them things like, okay, you can, if that's not going to work today, don't cast it off as it's never going to work. Put something in the future where you'll drop back in and forget about it for now. We'll almost mop that up and keep them in the loop with marketing and things, but you've got to contribute by telling us Dave's never going to move role in the next 3 to 6 months, but I might not remember in 3 to 6 months. So over to you guys in marketing just to keep him on the periphery. It's not suggesting that sales shouldn't do nurturing and shouldn't keep in touch. But I think if marketing provide almost like safety nets to say, you're busy in the day to day, keep going to the next one you've got on the list, but park them over there and we'll help you keep them warm as such.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And but it's also, it's a nice aspect if they say, right, okay, well, we'll kind of catch up. I mean, that's probably quite common in recruitment, catching up with candidates that are ready, right, getting past the candidates. But is it exactly that? It's just making sure that everything's in the CRM system. I am big on data. Like, data is, if you've got good, clean data and you're keeping on top of it, it can just help in so many ways, especially when you do get a kind of that relationship and that segmenting and targeting. So then you're kind of doing it appropriately and not just kind of scattergun it and being like, right, okay, so I'm going to send this out to everybody, because that not everybody's the same. Not everybody's the same at all.
That it's interesting because, you know, again, putting marketers out there somewhat, where those businesses that I've either worked in or worked with, whereby the marketing function team person doesn't have that hands-on access to like ownership level or contributor level, I'd say marketers are more inclined to be on top of data than sales. So the irony is then when sales want marketing to do something en masse, and marketing haven't had that opportunity to do what you're doing, making sure people are on top of data, it's just bad practice breeds bad practice. Bad data practice then gives marketing very little to go off when they want to run a campaign.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I keep saying, I am aware that this is not, it's not a typical setup, but it's a setup that's worked for us, and it's actually working quite well in terms of having that transparency through the business as well. So that it is quite a big one, because again, you want to make sure that you're communicating throughout the business so everyone knows what's kind of going on. And just kind of, it keeps everyone in check as well. So then if I don't do something, like someone else say, oh, Caitlin, have you done this? And then it's just kind of the same with that one as well. So
there's no preciousness. There's no like.
There's not. It's back. Like.
It's mutual.
Yeah. It's mutual. And I think that's the whole respect piece, because essentially when you do have a mutual respect, then it works really well, and you feel comfortable, and then like saying, oh, we need to do this or we need to do that.
So that aspect makes me feel like the responsibilities of marketers where you are probably broader than a lot of people who will listen to this. What's the makeup of the team, just out of curiosity? How is your marketing function structured?
So there's myself, and we have got a digital and social media executive in-house. And then we do have a lot of outhouse external work as well, which is there. But essentially what we're doing is just getting all the fundamentals right, and then we'll be kind of expanding on that and then pushing that out there. But yeah, there's just myself and my social and digital executive.
That's interesting. So you value certain aspects in-house, but then I could be wrong, but my thought process would be specialist and niche skill sets. You're then saying we can get external help, and we'll be the strategists, and we'll get the support where we need it.
Yeah, essentially.
So I think you're probably going to get inundated with people wanting to come and work for you, because they'll be stuck in companies that can't touch CRM systems, can't do this, can't do that. The sales and marketing marriage is heading for divorce. So if people do want to work for a recruitment marketing function that is looking at things, my opinion, the right way, send your CV over, because it sounds like you're going to be a growing team. I'm going to go off Samuel Knight just slightly. Well, it's related to Samuel Knight, but you're also co-founder of the Women of Today. I hope I phrased that right.
Are
you happy just to give us a bit of explanation on what the Women of Today is and what it does?
Of course. So the Women of Today is my little baby. I love talking about it. It's something that we've been working really, really hard on for the past, I would say, 6 months. And we're now at a point where we're going to be kind of launching it fully. So we've done like really, really soft launches. And essentially what it is it's an organisation to empower women to pursue careers in renewable energy space. Mm-hmm. But not only that, because that's only kind of half of the issue. I will talk about the issue. So that's only half of the issue. But we are also, as a recruitment agency, we've got all of this experience. So we are also going to be helping organisations with creative strategies in to achieve their DE&I objectives.
Okay.
Got all muddled up there. It's a two-prong kind of vision, but essentially it's all for the same purpose. I think it's one of them where we might be a small fish in a big pond. But yeah, so essentially that's more or less ready to go. And it's been a really, really exciting project. Myself and Kenzie Morris, who is our VP over in the US, have been working on it.
Oh, wow. So it's a transatlantic project then?
Yeah, it's a global project. We're focused on the EMEA region and also the USA. Just for now, just until we kind of get. Well, I mean, I say just for now. It's quite a big region when you actually think about it. It's got quite a big radius.
Start small. Only cover a third of the planet.
Yeah, you go big or go home.
That's a good point. So that, like, obviously, it's pretty kind of apt that we're chatting on a podcast that is born out of a community, essentially. It's not a commercial entity. It's loads of different marketers trying to help each other along in their careers. So there's a bit of synergy there, isn't there? You're trying to build or bring a community together in a very different industry. But with a similar purpose, I'm sure everyone helping each other is the goal you've got there.
100%. I think we had an actual idea from you guys when you, because obviously I've got been introduced into the actual WhatsApp group. But some, I thought I want to kind of create something that's similar. So then people we do have a community there. Again, we're going to help each other and give each other tips, etc. But also a part of our kind of services, we're going to be offering mentorship as well. So we're going to have like a mentorship pairing where we've got really senior leadership positions, women in senior leadership positions, paired with kind of their mentees. So we're going to do strategic pairing with that. So that's going to be something, the way that we can kind of move that forward and have that community there as well. So there's lots of things kind of going on, and I'm really excited. It's probably the first time that I've actually officially spoke about it. So it's nearly ready to go, and I'm very, very, very excited.
Well, in a weird twist of coincidence, we are doing something very similar. I don't know when this is going to go out. So this will probably go out after this thing I'm going to mention. So we're looking at the next TLM roundtable, which will happen on the 21st of March. So yeah, I dare say it's in the past now, which is weird because I'm just planning it. It's a very similar setup where we're going to get senior female recruitment marketers to sit on a panel and answer the questions of perhaps less experienced females in the industry, because recruitment, it's quite hard to get a senior level job as a woman. And I mean, board level, there's not many boards with women on them or high proportion of women. And then even more so, marketers. So marketers don't tend to get to that senior level in recruitment either. So if you're female and in marketing, getting to the board level and decision maker level at a recruitment company is not an easy challenge. So that's something we're bringing together. It's cool that you're looking at that, because after the podcast, I'm going to ask if you want to get involved in our version of that, because I think you've obviously got some aligned thought. And I know for a fact, having spoke to other people in TLM, there's loads of people that would love that kind of mentor-mentee relationship where someone who's doing stuff like what you're doing and then someone who's like literally starting as a marketing assistant at a recruitment company. TLM's good, but I do think some people will still be a bit shy about asking certain questions.
So, I get that.
I'm going to be tapping you up. You're going to get even busier.
Yeah. I don't mind that at all. I think I'm obsessed with giving and helping people, because I think that's so important. And I've recently, just to kind of go into the whole mentorship, I've just recently, probably like 4 months ago, been on my own mentorship journey, because I love just knowing. Like, I love just asking questions and knowing. So I've got quite a wide collabora of mentors. I'm really all about the giving back as well. So any time that I can give, if anyone's got any questions after this podcast, by the way, just find us on LinkedIn.
Job applications and questions about career progress are coming your way thick and fast. That's really interesting, and also like something so valuable and rewarding for yourself as a part of your career, but the value it'll add to others, I think, it's quite inspirational. So well done for getting that off the ground, and best of luck when it launches properly. I'm sure it'll be a massive success.
I'm like a kid at Christmas.
We've already covered like loads of the fact that your marketing job is probably broader than a lot of people would imagine, because of the CRM stuff and everything that goes with it. you're doing the additional stuff, community building. You're busy outside of work. A 9-year old daughter, I think you said at the start. So that keeps you on your toes. What the sector is productivity, and how do you keep on top of all these things? So how do you go about prioritizing the work of a marketing function and your own workload? And like methods and processes?
I have. It's actually quite funny that you've touched on this subject, because I've been on a I'm on a lot of journeys, but I'm really big on self-development, and I'm really big on kind of always having that one percentage of improvement every day. Okay. So that's probably a little motivational aspect in there. But in terms of actually managing everything, because there is a lot, like we've got, especially in my role, we've got marketing, the PR, I do internal events, I do external events. There's a lot that goes into actually my role there. And then obviously we've got the being co-founder of the Women Today and getting that brand off the ground and really kind of pushing that out, which is a massive project in itself. So that's that. And then obviously, like you said, home, and I've got a partner and all of this stuff. So, and do you want to know my honest answer of how I manage it all? Literally don't. I don't. And
how to get organized? Don't.
No, I'll tell you why. Because I went to a workshop not long ago, and I will find out the name because I have forgot it. But there were two lovely, lovely, lovely women, and they talked about your cup. So essentially, your cup, you can only have so much water in it. But essentially, say you've got a cup for work. Yeah. You've got a cup for your hobbies, and then you've got a cup for your personal life. You can't have water in all of these cups full every single day.
Okay.
But you can have a little bit more work if it works a little bit more busy at the moment, and then your hobbies might go down, and then your family life might go down. But then other days you'll just keep pouring in each other's cup, and it's really important to understand that you can't have a full cup every single day, and that's all right. Yeah. I think a lot of people get all kind of strung up on this whole I need to be 100% every single day. It's physically impossible. So I think that's the first step. It just having that mentality that you can't always have 100% of the cup filled at all times.
So having that belief as such.
Yeah.
Takes the pressure off in a roundabout way, because you're a bit more forgiving of yourself.
Yeah, essentially it's that mind shift, because essentially your mind can be your own worst enemy and be like, oh, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, da, 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 da. When realistically, but then obviously my second step helps with the, oh, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. So second step is I've got for the full year, this is more work related in terms of like of what I do actually in work to make sure I'm organized and set my priorities. So for the full year, I'll have like the business objectives, and then I'll have the marketing objectives, and then I'll split it into sprints. So then every project within them sprints relates back to them objectives. So I've got the objectives numbered. And then what happens is this is something I've had to really teach myself, because I'm really bad at it, but say no. So essentially, if I get a request in and it doesn't fall within kind of them objectives, I do have to say no.
Yeah.
And then I'll kind of revisit this in the next quarter, because we haven't got time to do it this quarter. So that no aspect, and is splitting your time up into sprints. So that's kind of another one. I've also got a tracker, which then is like more of a weekly tracker, where I'll put like priorities. So I'll have the list of things that I need to do. I'll have the quarter tracker. And then
sounds like you could write your own productivity book with this.
I've done a lot of self-development, put it that way. So it's like a little Gantt chart where I'll track when I'm doing each part of the project, so I'm not being overwhelmed, but I can still do a lot of things at once. I just split them into more small digestible chunks, so I'm not just like, oh my god, I've got all this to do, when realistically if I just have little bits at a time, I know that I'm that 1% further to my goal. And then obviously your weekly tracker with your priorities of what I would do normally first, and then I'll split them into kind of days there as well. So yeah, it's a full process. So if anyone wants to know my process, just
we might have to do a TLM workshop just on your how you manage all of that stuff, but it sounds very sounds very logical. It's like high level, mid level.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, especially earlier in their marketing careers, not just in recruitment, in any sector, do become order takers and do become reactive.
Yeah.
And you're busy because you come into an inbox full of can you justs. And what you're doing is flipping it and basically saying, no, I've already filled all my cups or buckets. Mm-hmm. Or so in order for it to go into one of them, it's going to have to be one next month or next quarter. It's not like you're saying indefinite. Well, some stuff's saying no to, because some stuff's just shit,
I mean, but don't get me wrong, if it's urgent, then I will be staying up late getting that done.
Yeah.
And then it just means that the family life or the personal life, the cup goes down a little bit, but that's all right, because then I'll fill it back up the next day. So that's how I've mentally got around the whole not feeling guilty for having to do for doing stuff in the evening or getting up early and stuff like that. So I think that's it as well.
Yeah, trade it off almost, like you rode a little bit back from that cup now because you didn't give it the attention. I think that's a really good mindset, and then you can see how that cascades down into your work planning. Talking about that reactive stuff and like odd quirks of recruitment marketing, right? So something I've been asking everyone that I'm recording recently for this kind of series, I think we're going to launch six episodes as a series, and I'm asking similar questions to get a feel for how it works in different places. So recruitment marketing, this really interests me. The responsibilities of a recruitment marketing function at a recruitment business, there are two things that I always find absolutely baffling that sit within a marketing remit. The first one is CV databases, and the second one is LinkedIn licenses. Because for me, they are nothing to do with marketing, but end up stuck with a marketer. So the question is, do either end up stuck with you? And if yes, how do you go about handling it?
This is where people are going to probably want to come and...
They're going to hate you because you don't have to do it.
I don't have to do it. I don't. And do you know what? I think that's another thing where, especially then, because we've got kind of your LinkedIn licenses and stuff like that. There's a bit of a two-prong of this, so I'll get to the first point. So we don't deal with their accounts and stuff. They very much do that. But if they need any support on it in terms of just kind of functionality, or like, oh, so what should I do this? Or what should I say this in this aspect? So we'll help on that term. So like, I don't mind stuff like that.
No.
But we have, especially in something like, we've got a big personal branding initiative. Like that's a full project that we constantly run and we constantly work on. So we work on getting our consultants' personal branding like up to speed. So yes, it's not actually the licenses side, but it works hand in hand in kind of growing that community.
But that makes sense, right? The expertise, that's my bugbear with it. I totally agree that we should be helping colleagues develop their personal brands and how best to get awareness about them and what they do. It's always them purchasers to me that are like sales enablement, i.e. there's access to the CV database. It's like, hang on. But I don't get the ROI from that put on marketing's list, so why should I do the negotiation? It's great to hear that you're not doing that.
Yeah, no, I'm not. But yeah, it's like I'll get involved in like little aspects. So like, obviously, you've got like jobs and job adverts and stuff like that. I do really help with kind of the structure of that. But again, this is very much of a wide task, because essentially that job advert's going to go on the website. So I care about it.
Of course.
It's also part of our brand. And so if it's not kind of laid out right, it looks bad for our brand. So I want to be involved with it. So it's one of these things where, like, I think it's to understand what actually matters and what doesn't essentially, and kind of the sales, that's essentially what it is, a license, a LinkedIn license is essentially a sales tool.
Precisely.
That's not my remit, but the whole kind of the LinkedIn is like, I can help with LinkedIn and we can help with personal branding, but the licenses, no, that's just an add-on sales tool.
Nice. We're on the same page about that. I'm kind of like building a battle to empower other marketers. That
I feel like we're going to start writing a petition and you'll give us a petition next.
It just winds me up, because if you're giving a marketer that responsibility, but not then saying your marketing's generating a return when someone finds a CV and places them, it just doesn't add up to me. It's a weird one. But I'm totally with you that marketing needs to be involved in quality and education around content writing, whether that's a blog or a job advert. So I think that makes that really clear. Appreciate the backup.
Yeah.
So thinking now tactically, another question I like to ask is, we all see things going on that we think, God, why are we doing that? Or why is every recruitment company doing that kind of thing that feels thankless? So what's the one tactic you see recruitment companies doing that you just think, that is pointless? Stop doing it, save yourselves the time and move on to more important things.
Oh, God, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. But I think one thing that's probably my not pet peeve, because it's not something that really annoys me, but I just think it's just posting a job advert on LinkedIn and then expecting loads of applications, because essentially, like, all you're doing is you want from your audience. You're not actually giving them anything.
Yeah.
So that probably, it's not essentially, it's the tactic, and we're probably going to get a few dodgy eyes when this comes out, because some of the guys still do it upstairs, and that's more... It's obviously depend on your audience. Contract side, a lot of contract aren't going to be on LinkedIn. They're not going to be on that platform.
Yeah.
But it's just one of them where it's all about building that relationship. And I think I see that from a marketing side, and I can see it from a sales side. I've got that commercial mind where I'm just like, think of the bigger picture. You have all this. If you're constantly in front of people when the job is, that are ready to go and move jobs, then they're going to call you.
Yeah, we can tell by your job title.
Yeah.
That you've got jobs. Oh. Do you know what I mean? Like telling us you've got jobs day in, day out.
Oh, or if they've got the hiring banner. Oh my God.
A recruitment consultant with the hiring banner is, it's an interesting move, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and just like, I think I've got one of them controversial opinions. Some people like them, but I just think if you're a recruitment consultant, you're not hiring.
You're not.
There's a problem.
There's a big problem. So on the flip side of that, what's one tactic you think recruitment marketers are either not doing or are doing a little bit, but they should really be doubling down on? I kind of predict what you're going to say here, but what's the one that you think, you need to put more effort, it's going to pay dividends over the long term?
For actual marketers, I think, especially in a world of that, we're digital, and obviously it's really important for... Loads of people use it, but actually working on your website, and our website launch was a big launch last year. We worked like really hard on kind of really focused on that user experience. And I think a lot of recruitment industries kind of forget about their website and just leave it there as like a little brochure website, where it's just like, oh, hi, we do recruitment. So it's like, so what? Like, what's the kind of journey there? So I think probably the website, I think really focus on user experience, the SEO, like really focus on what message you're trying to get across, what solutions do you offer.
You're building an asset, aren't you? The better of
it's building an asset, and it's all about, it's not going to tick your boxes straight away, because you need to kind of build it up from there. But I think especially when you land on a couple of websites and you're just like, you don't know where to go, and candidates have got a short attention span. They want to find the job. They want to kind of apply to the job, and they want a really nice experience. Like we've got kind of bots all over our website, and it's really focused on that user experience, that interactive side. So then they don't feel like they're just kind of just hiding the CV and it's going to be left. They actually go through a conversation with a personalized bot with that consultant. So I think that's customer experience.
I'm going to have to take a look at that, because I
have
I can't say product names unless it'd be a bit unfair, but I've got an inkling as to one of the technologies.
As to who,
But that's really interesting that you're taking that level of granularity. Recruitment marketers do get pushed to relaunch a website, and then unfortunately it's like the 6 to 12 month project that burns them out, and then they don't want anything else to do with that website because directors have said, change the color slightly, move the logo, do all these things. So the marketer ends up drained and like, get me on another project, and the website sits there for another 3 years rather than it being a process of continual optimization.
It's that working at it continuously, and it's not just going to be a quick fix. Like, it's also, it's with anything in marketing, you need to test it. You need to test the SEO to see if it's working. You need to test your kind of your technology within your website. You need to test the visuals, the content. It's all about your testing and whether it's working or not, and keep changing it. So I think people, like especially recruitment marketers, are missing a trick in terms of actually utilizing the actual website that they've got and not just using it as like a brochure, like, oh, this is what we're doing, this is kind of what we offer, because essentially it's the industry's changing, I think, and people are more focused on that experience side and that kind of that next level.
Yeah, my piece of advice I've given to plenty of marketers is once a month, do the journey you're expecting a candidate or client to do and see what happens.
Yeah, I love that.
Because there can be things out of your control you don't think of, that whether it's something like a LinkedIn plugin or whatnot, that is all bells and whistles when the website launches. But 6 months later, the code has changed by LinkedIn and you've not kept up with it. And now day in, day out, people are trying to use their LinkedIn profile to apply, but it doesn't work. And candidates haven't got time to report back to you that your LinkedIn button's not working. And the amount of times you see that where it could be like, we only accept Word documents. It's like, well, the world's moved on. People are using Google Docs. They might want to use a PDF. So yeah, be a candidate or a client on your own website from time to time, and you just go,
I love that.
Shit.
Yeah.
I have to do it with our website, and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, what, how have we let that slip? Or why does it say that on that button?
But it happens. It's exactly the same. It's like, it's exactly with everything. It happens. It's one of them things that's out of your control. Sometimes, again, if a URL's changed or like a bit of content needs updating, it's one of them where if you just spend that time and like even just once a month, just giving it a review, like doing a little mini audit and just kind of play around with the aspects and, all right, okay, well, so-and-so's changed in the business, we need to quickly update their job. Yeah. It's like, it's one of them sometimes, but I think especially in recruitment marketing, they'll probably be speaking to a lot of people. So it's very much sometimes a one person marketing team. So I do appreciate, obviously, when we don't always have time to do all these little things, but
you will do once you follow your productivity methodology is going to be on Amazon soon. And recruitment marketing productivity, I think that's got legs.
It's a stellar.
Yeah. all right. So, like, loved all the answers. I think you've given so much value. We just got some quick fire ones that we like to use to bring us to a close. These are usually quite lighthearted but interesting. Technology that you couldn't live without.
Do you know what it is? I'm gonna be so basic, yeah, but OneNote. Like OneNote. I love it so much. It's the most simple thing on this whole entire
Is it a Microsoft thing, OneNote?
It's Microsoft, yeah. So it's kind of, it's a functionality email, but you can have like your books open and then chapters within your book, but then you can write, but then you can attach documents to that chapter and stuff. So as you're like, or my brain, there's about 100 million things going on, like what we've just kind of went through. It's like a second brain. Everything gets put into there, but then also you've got to make sure you make a conscious effort to go back and then check these things, because sometimes they're left to die. But it's one of them where it's just saved my life so many times, because I've wrote notes on them during meetings, and then I'll be like, right, okay, well, I'm going to add this into the presentation, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. So OneNote, it's just...
So that's your personal CRM system.
Yeah, it's basically my personal CRM system.
It needs maintenance, but if it's maintained, it saves your life.
And yeah, it needs a PA to go through and just sort it out for us, because...
Your favourite brand?
Do you know what it is? This is not, it's not anything recruitment related, but Honor Active and Evolve You. So Chrissy Celia, I don't know if you've heard of her.
No.
But both brands are just... incredible. They're very clear with the messaging about empowering women and having that gratitude of being able to move your body and look after yourself and creating activewear for women that's not just for one shape and one size. Like, I just think her brand, and she's a co-founder on both of them, so that is another founder there, but them both brands have just hit the nail on the head with messaging, and I just love every single thing that they do.
Yeah, so you take inspiration on a professional level, but also can see it on that consumer level, how they are. Going back to your psychology thing, how they've kind of nailed that approach to their work. That's interesting. I prefer this question though. Least favorite brand?
Yeah, least favorite brand. This actually, again, I'm going to be, this is probably a good and bad answer. So my least favorite brand is Samsung. They've done nothing to me, nothing to me personally. I don't hate what the marketing they put out, but it's the branding. So like, I am a loyal Apple gal. Like, I will always be loyal to Apple. And it's that level of loyalty. That's when Apple know that you've done the marketing right, because that level of loyalty where I won't even look at Samsung, I literally look at people with an Android and go. And it's one of them. And it's probably the same cost. It's literally everything, but I'm just like, because I'm that loyal. And I think that's when marketing's done right, because, and branding's done right, because I will never move away from Apple ever.
Samsung.
Sorry, Samsung.
I know what you mean. It's a weird one, isn't it? I'm a bit like that with brands where I just don't like the logo. I won't get past that. I won't get over it.
Yeah.
If you've got a logo, I can't. I just think that's a shit logo.
Or if it's just being thrown together and be like, oh, it's one of the last thought aspects of the branding. To be fair, when you see a bad logo, have they even got branding? Because essentially.
Well, some of it's subjective, isn't it? Like,
I mean,
it's brands I probably wouldn't buy anyway, but then the logo just, I'm not with it. Okay, Samsung's there. And finally, bring us to a close with your favourite swear word. What do you use that, like gets things off your chest? What's the one that you find the most satisfying?
Probably fuck, really. Yeah. Everything is, my daughter tells us off every single day, and I know you shouldn't swear in front of your kids, but I do in the car. I've got really bad road rage. And she'll go, Mummy, do you do realise that the car can't hear you? The person in the car can't hear you. And I'm just like, Mummy, you can't say them type of things to people. And I'm just like, I can't say anything, because she's right. And I have to say sorry to my 9-year-old daughter on a daily basis, because I've got severe road rage,
I'm an advocate. Like, I get in trouble for swearing quite a bit, and I think I'm an advocate because it's an expression of frustration often, or an expression of humor. I'm not just swearing because I think it's big and clever.
It's an expression.
And it sometimes articulates an emotion you can't just by going not using swearing. Caitlin, that's been really informative, and I think you've probably shared value that loads of people are going to go, oh, wow, that's an interesting approach, an interesting mindset, and I think you'll get quite a few people reaching out to you on the back of this. So best place, contact you on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
and if you're
LinkedIn,
in TLM, you're sat in the TLM group, so people could message you in there too.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much for joining us, sharing your background and the stuff that interests you. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, and I'll end it there. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Lonely Marketers podcast. If you would like to join like-minded recruitment marketers in our WhatsApp group, visit the LinkedIn page and scan the QR code in the banner. This podcast is created by the team at Pager. For more information about how Pager can help build personal brands for your recruiters and scale your content distribution efforts, visit pager.co, pager.co. You can find me on LinkedIn if you'd like to connect for more content about recruitment marketing.